Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
An atheist was walking through the woods admiring the accidents that evolution had created. The majestic trees, the powerful rivers, the beautiful animals, and he said to himself, "This is so good," as he walked along the river. And as he walked, he heard the rustling sound in some bushes behind him, and as he turned around, there was a 7-foot grizzly bear charging towards him. He began to run as fast as he could along the path, and he looked over his shoulder. The bear was catching up, and so he tried to run even faster, and as he ran even faster, he was just out of breath, and he turned around and he could see that the bear was catching up, and with his heart pounding, he decides to try and give it all he's got because this is life or death now, and he's running as quickly as he can, and he eventually trips over. As he rolls over, he turns around and the bear is right there with his paws lifted high, ready to strike. In an instant, the atheist cries out, "God, help me!" All of a sudden, time stopped. The bear froze. The river stood still. There was no sounds in the forest what to hear from, and a light from heaven shone down on the guy. And this voice boomed out of heaven. "You deny my existence for all these years. You teach others that that I'm not real, that I don't exist. You even give credit to creation, to some cosmic accident. And you want me to help you out of this predicament right now? Do you expect me to call you a believer? Do you expect this all to happen?" And the atheist looked directly into the light and said, "I would feel like a hypocrite if I said to you I would become a Christian after all these years. Maybe perhaps you could make the bear a Christian." The voice from heaven boomed down and said, "Very well." And the light went out, the river started to run, the sounds of the forest resumed. The bear dropped his hands, put them together and said, "Dear Lord, for this food I'm about to receive, I'm truly thankful." I read the story during the week, I just found it very humorous. And God does different things, and we don't understand sometimes why God does some things, but he does do different things. If you're joining us online, a very special welcome to you. If you're on demand on YouTube, on the podcast, or in the room today, very special welcome. We love having you with us. We're in second week, or week two, of our series on the book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, depending on where you are around the world. And we're looking at this idea of when God is not fair, when God is unfair. So let's pray, and then let's get into what God has for us today. Father God, today we want to thank you for all that you do for us. We want to thank you for being our God, for being the God who can do all things, the God who sustains, who governs, who is in complete and utter control. The God who knows all things today. God, today we come back to the book of Habakkuk. We come back to this story and we ask that you speak in a mighty way. Speak to us about who you are and help us to grow closer to you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen.
This is my city. These are my people. I've seen a lot of things in this town. Things I don't like. Bad people taking advantage of the weak. Good people down on their luck. Innocent people suffer. I talk to God a lot. Sometimes he talks back. So I ask him, "When are you going to do something about all this?" You know what his answer was? You wouldn't believe me if I told you. So I went to a rooftop where I could see the whole city. And I waited for God to answer my question. "Get a pencil and write this down," he said. "Because when you hear what I have to say, you're going to want to tell everybody."
object. I've always wanted to say that, burst into a courtroom and, Your Honor, I object. Like, I reckon that would be just a, you know, you see it in the movies and you see that last set, I just, no, it probably doesn't happen in real life, but I would love to do it. I'd love to just burst in. Last week we started looking at Habakkuk's story and we looked at the fact that he was looking around in his city, looking around in his town, and he saw the corruption. He saw the mistreatment. He saw the suffering and the pain. He saw the lawlessness of the people, and he cries out to God and he's asking some questions of God. You know, God, I know you're powerful. I know you could do all things. I know that you could stop this with the click of your fingers, yet you're allowing this to go on. And if we're honest, we've asked God why as well. We've all asked God why. I can't get my microphone right today. Anyway, we've all asked God why. And remember last week we said it's okay to have faith and still ask why. In fact, it's an intelligent thing. We can have faith and still ask God why. And so Habakkuk, he asked God some questions. God, why is this happening? Why are you doing this? Why is this all going on? And God answers Habakkuk. He says, I'm going to raise up the Babylonians, this cruel nation, to take you guys out and to correct you and do all this stuff. And there's this idea then, there's this idea that God then raises up this crueler, even worse nation to take out the people of God in Judea, the last kind of thing before the Babylonians go through. And if you were here, and let's use that one, we ask the question, you know, why does God seem unfair? And if you were here, we drew this kind of bit of a graph. Do you remember the graph? Right, let me just make that really thick for you to see, kind of thing. And if you were here, we talked about how the fact that when we're Christians and when we give our lives to God and when we're saved, we kind of start here, and how, you know, we start praying to God and we start asking God for things and he starts showing off. And remember, you know, we go to the shops and we get the parking space right next to the front door and all this stuff happens. We get the promotion at work because, you know, things are going good and life is just fantastic. And we get to the peak of this mountain and God just shows off all the way up. He just shows off immensely to us. And then all of a sudden, we're praying and we're on this bit of a downward spiral. We're praying and it doesn't seem like God is listening to us anymore. We're praying and God's not answering our prayers. Instead of getting the car park at the front of the shops, right next door to the door, we're getting the one that's 12 kilometres away and we're having to walk anyway and drive around. And things are not going our way. We lose our jobs, something happens, life gets in the way and we get to here. Let's call that the dip, right? Let's call that the dip. And we're in the dip and we're wondering what is going on. And we have a choice when we're in the dip. Remember we talk about choice, and we could either return to life beforehand or we could hold on to God. We could trust God and hold on. And we could ride this through. Remember we talked about how the fact that Habakkuk actually means to wrestle or to embrace, to hug. And so we could Habakkuk, we can hug on to God and he will take us then to a higher place, to a closer, deeper relationship with him. If we Habakkuk, if we hold on. Remember that? All caught up? Get the proper version later on. But that's pretty much what we were talking about. Is that, you know, here. And we saw this first one. And so Habakkuk gives his questions. God answers his questions. That's where we're going to pick the story up from, in verse 12, chapter 1, verse 12. And this is where we see Habakkuk go, Your Honor, or Your God, my God, I object. I object to what's going on and what you've just said. So if you've got your Bibles, open them up to Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 12. Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 12. The words are going to be up on the screen. And we're going to get into it. You ready?
Yep.
Well, that was about 8 people, so we're getting a little better, but, you know, like, probably need some more to say. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You ready? Yeah. Okay, here we go. Verse 12. Oh, Lord, my God, my Holy One, you are eternal. Surely you do not plan to wipe us out. Oh, Lord, our rock. You have sent these Babylonians to correct us, to punish us for our many sins. Really quickly, Habakkuk's putting God in his rightful place, right? He recognizes who God is and what God can do. He puts God in the rightful place. But he's worried now because the Babylonians are going to come in and wipe him out. And Babylonians had a reputation of just wiping out whole cities, whole nations, making them extinct. And God's saying he's raising up the Babylonians to do this. He's fearful now of what's going to happen, right? Verse 13. But you are pure and cannot stand the sight of evil. Will you wink at the treachery? Should you be silent while the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? God, I'm objecting to your plan here. God, I don't like your plan. God, I don't think this is a good idea. Have you ever thought that God has had a bad idea for your life? Yeah, come on. We all have. Habakkuk's going, this doesn't line up with your character, God. This doesn't line up with what you say and who you say you are. And he's objecting. This is like a courtroom, right? One person gives evidence, the other person recites and gives an answer, and then he's going, objection! I don't like this, right? Then he goes on, verse 14. Are we only fish to be caught and killed? Are we only sea creatures that have no leader? Funny enough, the leader of the people of God was God, so he's questioning God whether he's still leading the people or not. Verse 15, must we be strung up on their hooks and caught in their nets while they rejoice and celebrate? Then they will worship their nets and burn incense in front of them. These nets are the gods who have made us rich, they will claim. What's really interesting in all of this, and what Habakkuk says and how he objects to it all, is that the Babylonians worshipped a god by the name of Dagon. It's the same god as the Ninevites worshipped, and it's the same god Samson's enemies worshipped, the Ninevites. Dagon, the false god Dagon. Dagon, if you Google Dagon, you can get plenty of pictures of a half-man, half-fish. It was a half-man, half-fish god. And so Habakkuk is using all this fishing language in it. Are we fish to be caught and killed, sea creatures? Are we to be strung up on hooks and nets? They will rejoice on their nets. And so he's kind of saying, hang on, God, is Dagon stronger? And I don't think he's questioning that. I think what he's saying to God is, hang on, God, you wouldn't settle for this. This is a false god, and you're stronger and mightier and more powerful, but you're going to allow this to happen? This doesn't sound right. This doesn't make sense on who I know you are to be, God. And then he adds this in verse 17. Will you let them go away with this? Will you let them get away with this forever? Will they succeed forever in their heartless conquests? God, are you really going to wipe me out? Are you going to take me out? God, is this the end? Is this the best it gets? God, I've been in this struggle, in this problem, in this situation for so long, and is this it? Is this all I've got left? Is this the best you've got for me? I thought, God, you were God who could bless me and do all sorts of things and be there for me and help me in my times of struggle, but yet, God, where are you? Why is this happening? How long do I need to stay here? What is this all about? God, this doesn't line up with who I believe you to be. I thought you were a good God, a great God, a powerful God. What I see is you wiping us out. And so Habakkuk comes back with this rebuttal, this question, this objection. How long, God, is this going to take? Is this going to be, we're taken out forever? Or is this for a time? How long do we have to go through this situation? See, the truth is, we can accept the fact that God leads us into the dip, can we not? Really, what we want to know is how long do we have to stay in the dip? Come on. Yeah? We're okay with this. And I was thinking about this last week. We're okay with the fact, right, that, like, well, let me pick that up, that God leads us into the dip. We're okay with this. But how long do we need to stay here is the real question we ask. How long do we have to be there for God? How long do we have to stay in the valley, in this persecution, in this trouble, in this suffering, in this trial? How long do I need to be here for? How long, God? And if you were to ask me, I could give you an answer, but you may not like it. The answer is, I don't know. Sorry, I can't be any more help for you. I don't know. Nobody on the planet knows how long you need to be in the dip. All I know is that God, we're okay with this. God will bless us and then he will take it. And we get the principle of what he's trying to do. But when we're in the dip, we want to know how long. And so I love what Habakkuk and what God does next in this book. Because they outline some stuff for us. Some things we could do. So that was week one. Outline some things we can do. Do in the dip. So I want to give you a couple of things that we could do when we're in the dip. You ready for this? Are you sure you're ready for this?
Yes.
All right, here it is. Number one, the first thing we could do when we're in the dip is we can stop and listen. Stop and listen. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 says this, I will climb up on my watchtower and stand at the guard posts. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. So when we're here, we pray, right? And then we've got to stop and listen. We've got to stop and listen. God, I don't like what's happening to me. I'm objecting to this plan. I'm not good with it. But I'm going to stop and listen. I'm going to stop and listen. This may be news to some of you, but we live in an instant world. If you want to watch a movie, you just jump on your phone and you just go Netflix, download it, project it straight to your TV, and you're watching the movie. In fact, it takes less time to put a 90-second bag in the microwave than it does to download the movie on your phone and then share it to your TV. You could put the microwave popcorn in the microwave, then walk into your lounge room, connect it all up, start the movie. The credits are finished when you're taking that 90-second popcorn out of the microwave.
Okay.
Like, we live in an instant world. We order something online and it comes fairly quickly. You know, we expect it to be there almost overnight. We download music and stream it directly. We do also, you know, 50 years ago, probably not even that long, 20 years ago, if you wanted to watch a movie and have popcorn, you had to get in your car, drive down to Blockbuster, right? Walk in, find the movie you want, hope that they're not all rented out, because if they were all rented out, then you had to come back the following day and reserve it, which most of the time, if it was a new movie, you had to anyway. Right, so then you would go home, come back the following day to get the movie that you reserved, right? Then you go home, stick it in your VCR tape, right? Then, by the way, making your popcorn was a whole thing with the pot and the oil and popping it on the stove, which took more like 15 minutes than 10 minutes or 90 seconds. And then eventually when you got it into the bowl and sat on the couch, you were so tired that you fell asleep during the movie anyway, right? We live in an instant world and we've got to give... We've got to stop and we've got to listen for God. We've got to stop and listen. We've got to recognize, one, we're in an instant world. But the other thing we do when we've got to stop and listen is we've actually got to allow God to speak. Michael, can you just come up here for a second? Because this is how sometimes we treat God. You're God for a minute. Is that okay?
Sure.
All right. You don't have to say anything. Just be God for a minute, all right? Is that good?
Yeah.
All right, good, good. All right. This is how we come to God sometimes. Hey, God, how you doing? It's so great to see you. Oh, God, I need this and this and this and this and this. And God, I'm praying for this and not have, and thank you and see. And we're gone. Have I actually given him time to talk?
No.
But we do that all the time. Thanks, man. That's all I need. We don't stop and we don't listen. We need to stop, and this is simple stuff. Stop and listen. Stop and listen. We've got to give time for the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And we don't do that well. We don't do that well. The second thing that we can do when we're in the dip, when we're in this space, is we need to write it down. Habakkuk 2 verse 2 says this. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that the runners can carry and correct message to others. So the runners can carry the correct message to others. We need to write it down. So that's one. Two, write it down. Oh, I don't know why I'm writing. I have the worst writing on the planet. Write it down. See, in this day and age, right, if you were to write something down, what you would do is get a stone and you would actually carve it in there, your message, in the stone. Right? If you made a spelling mistake, too bad. It was there. It's permanent. Once it was written in stone, and you've heard that expression, right? Once it's written in stone, it's in stone. And the point of it, of writing it in stone, was that it was permanently done. And there was a record, a visual reminder of what God has done. And so God is saying, when you're in the dip, right? And when you see what I'm going to do, write it down. And there's a reason he tells us to write it down. And there's a reason he tells us to put it in a tablet format, to write it plainly, to write it out, to visually see it, is so that we remember it. So the next time we go through one of these cycles and we go back down again to our next dip, and we're in the second dip now, we can reflect and we have something to look at on the first dip. Does that make sense? If we write it down, if we have it planned, otherwise what will happen is the following day, you will wake up, or the following week, or the next dip, right, the next valley, you'll wake up and go, did I have too much pizza that time? Was that really God, or was that just a happy coincidence? If we write it down and we have something plain to see, then we've got a record of it. There's a visual reminder. Does that make sense? Are you capturing this? Whether you do this in a diary, write it on your phone, put a plaque up on the wall, I don't care, but it's a visual reminder. It's something that ties us back, right? Write it on the tablets of your heart if you have to. But there's something that in the second dip, in the next dip, that gives us a chance to look at, to stop at, to be part of. Write it down. It gives us hope in those moments. The third thing we could do when we're in the dip. Third thing. You ready for the third thing?
Yep.
We can wait.
Yep.
I'm amazed at just how uncomfortable all of yous are. All of you just started saying stuff. And I'll get to your serious question later. If I don't answer it, come and see me afterwards. But Habakkuk 2:3 says, the vision for the future time, it describes the end. It will be fulfilled, for if it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will take place. It will not delay. We have to wait. We have to wait on God's... You know that's another verse that could go on a coffee cup? The vision of a future time, it describes the end. It will be fulfilled. That makes you feel good. If it's slow in coming, wait. Wait patiently. For it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. That's a verse for a coffee cup right there. But that word future time could be better translated as appointed time. And in fact, in most versions, it's appointed time. The Hebrew word for this is moad. Moad. Or moed. M-O-W-E-D, so mode, but it's actually pronounced moed. Right? It means specific time. A designated time for an event or a thing to happen. It's a specific time. It means that if the concert's starting at 7 o'clock on the 21st of October, then the concert's starting at 7 o'clock on the 21st. It's an appointed time. It's a moad. It's an appointed time. Nothing you could do to speed that up, and nothing you could do to slow it down. Nothing you could do to bring it on early. Nothing you could do to delay it. It's an appointed, fixed moment in time. And God has appointed everything in his time frame. And so when we ask, how long do we need to stay in the dip? Well, it's for God's moab. Or his timing. His appointed time. There is an appointed time frame that we need to stay here for. And only God knows that. We don't know it. There's an appointed time frame. And if God's delays... Right? What it feels like to us is God's delaying us, but that's not God's denial of us. Come on, that's good. God might be delaying, it might feel like delaying, but it's not God's denial. It's not God's denial of this. And there are plenty of examples in Scripture of people who had to wait. I mean, Moses, I mean, he gets told he's going to be delivering the people of God. And rebuild the nation. And so Moses then goes on a 40-year wandering in the desert. 40 years he had to wait to fulfill what God had called him to do. Right? That's like 230 cat years. Like, that's a lot of years, right? He waits and he waits and he waits and he waits. Joseph is told he'll become a great leader. What happens? His brother beat the snot out of him, stick him in a hole, sell him into slavery. He spends a couple of years in prison, then goes back to prison after 13 years of being promised that, you know, this promise of being a great leader, been shown this in a vision. After 13 years, he's elevated to the second in charge in Egypt. 13 years of waiting. The Apostle Paul has a vision and he meets Christ. He's transformed from the inside out. And he tells everybody, the love of Christ is compelling me to preach. This is what I'm here to do. God, this is my purpose. And that was 13 years before he preached his first sermon. There is a wait that has to happen, a moad for the right time. And if we speed up and we try and speed this up, we're only going to land in disaster. And if we don't act on it, when it's happening, we're going to land in disaster. We've got to wait for the moed, the right time. The right time. It's always God's perfect timing. But there's one more thing we can do. If we're here in the dip and we're waiting, well, what do waiters do? Serve. They serve. What do waiters do? They serve. And we may be in the dip for years. We may not know how to get out of it. We may have prayed and prayed and prayed. And it probably sucks. Let's face it, we've all been here and it does suck. We hate this space. We'd rather be here or here, not here. However, when we are here, we need to serve. Waiters serve. And we may think that nothing is happening when we're serving. We may think that you know, oh, well, you know, I'm here and I'm waiting for God to do his thing and I'm serving, but that's not helping me. But actually, it could be more movement as we serve than if we don't serve. Maybe God wants to show us something as we serve. Instead of doing it, does this make sense? As we wait for the moad, we serve. We wait for the moad, we serve. I'll get the keys to come up and start playing for me. The rest of chapter 2, and I want you to read this as you get home. and look at it, but there's, God goes on and speaks of five woes for the Babylonians. Five things to look out for. Five things that they're going to do that God is going to judge them for. We didn't have time to really go through them today, but maybe we might do them next week. Who knows? But I want to finish with this verse from verse 20. So Habakkuk 2, verse 20, which is after the five woes that God puts in there. He says, do these things, you know, stop and listen, write it down, wait. Wait is served. Like in this space, when we're here, waiting for the Moad, and we're serving, and we're waiting for all this to happen, and we're seeing what the Babylonians are doing. They're going to get judged for what they're going to do. That's the five woes. But then there's this verse in verse 20 that just most people believe it's the spring. It's the hinge. It's the thing in the whole book that we are to hold on to. It says this. But the Lord in his holy temple, let all the earth be silent before him. These three words. But the Lord. But the Lord. But the Lord. In the middle of our dip, when we're here, we need to hold on to these three words. But the Lord. Regardless of what this is and what that looks like. But the Lord. He will do something. But the Lord, he's got me. But the Lord, he's going to take it. But the Lord, there's going to Moab that's going to get me out of this place. But the Lord. In the dip, we're going to remember, but the Lord. Because this place sucks. And it's hard. And we question God, why is this happening? God, how long do I have to be here? God, what is going to happen in this space? God, are you going to wipe us out? God, is all this going to take me and lose me? And am I going to end? No. But the Lord. We need to balance this and go, but the Lord has me. But the Lord has me. He hasn't forgotten you. And he hasn't left you. And he's not going to allow you to be totally wiped out. He's not sitting back in heaven laughing at you. He's not punishing you. It may feel like it's unfair. And it may feel like it's not right that you're here. And you may be looking at other people going, why have they got it so easy when I'm down here? But the Lord is what you need to keep telling yourself. But the Lord will do something. He is in his holy temple and his Moad is coming. His Moad is coming. I just need to wait for it. Singers, come on up. If there are singers, come on up. Band, come on up. Last week we sang this song, Trust in God. My Saviour, who will never fail. Who will never fail. Our God will never fail us. He will never fail. When we're here and we pray, we may not get the answer. He may not tell us and share that with us. I read a commentary that said during the week that if he told us exactly what he was doing, it would freak us out too much. It's probably right. But if we wait, we stop and listen. We write down the things he's done in the past, knowing that he could do it again in the future. If we wait to see what God is going to do and we're serving in the middle of all of that, then his Moad will come. And when his Moad comes, he'll take us. What do we do in the dip? We stop and listen. We write it down. We wait and we serve. So we're going to sing this song, Trust in God. And as we do sing this song, if God is speaking, you can stand up where you're at. And you can just do business with God as we sing, as we play this song. And just do business with him. But if God is speaking to you today, you can stand where you're at. let's sing.